Our buddy who covers the Guardians for the Chronicle Telegram joins us. He is Mr. Chris Ossenheimer. Hello, sir.
What's happening, Chris?
Chris, you with us?
Now I am.
There you go.
Right.
Did you have to cancel vacation plans since the Guardians were 15 and a half back and now have won the division?
No, I didn't, but I certainly didn't think I'd be standing here talking with you right now. That's for sure. But I had no vacation plans, not yet.
All right. Good. I'm glad you didn't have to cancel anything. Sometimes those refunds can be challenging.
Right, right.
Chris, Chase DeLauder made this roster.
Woo-hoo!
What did you think when you saw that one?
Well, I mean, it was yesterday was really when you kind of got an idea he was going to be on the roster when they added him to the taxi squad with catcher Dom Nunez and said that he was an option. At that point, you had to believe he was going to be on the roster. I mean, I guess they probably wanted to take a look at him, maybe take some swings. But if you asked me before yesterday, yeah, it would have been a very surprising thing. I mean, you're looking, and you could say the same thing about Jonathan Rodriguez, for God's sake. He wasn't on the team a week ago, and now he's hitting cleanup in game one of the wild card series. So there's been some crazy things happening, as we know. This whole season's been insane, basically.
Hashtag guards ball, Chris.
Chaos. Just
a little observing of the roster here. Of the 15 position players, Chris, 9 of them spent time in the minors this year, and I think only 2 of them were on rehab assignments. And of the 7 outfielders on the roster for game one here, 6 of the 7 outfielders spent time in the minors this year. Way to go, yeah. Team. How about that?
Right, and they still made it all this way.
Yeah.
I think 6 guys made their major league debuts this year. I think I saw that. It's just part of the madness that's taken place in this season. I mean, if you ask, like, if you're projecting at the beginning of the year, I mean, you could never have predicted any of this, maybe 1 or 2. But, it's just – and I guess it can be a good thing, too. They don't know any better, you know. They don't know that this is crazy pressure, and they're young, having fun. And I know as cliche as that sounds, that's pretty much what they're doing, and that's what Stephen Vogt has preached since day one.
Well, you were walking around there yesterday. Does that energy feel about the same as it had through 162 yesterday?
You mean yesterday for the workout?
Yeah, for the workout itself and just what you've seen throughout the season. I'm wondering, is anybody pressing, anybody trying anything different, anything like that, or is it just business as usual, baby?
No, it's just business as usual. I mean, they've gotten this far. You're not going to try changing stuff, you know, before game one of the wild card series. But there's certainly the energy certainly there from the player standpoint. I mean, a guy like Chase DeLauder, you know, he's got to be going crazy. This is he's going to make his major league debut in the postseason. The energy is still there. They definitely, voters said they definitely needed that day off yesterday, but they're ready to go now, and I don't think you're going to be seeing anybody tinkering with anything right now.
Chris Ossenheimer joining us. He does a great job covering the Guardians at the Chronicle Telegram, and glad to have him with us as always. What's been a stranger occurrence, or maybe a more impressive occurrence? The fact that this team is where it is with the offense being just miserable for most of the year, or the way the starting rotation came together when there were so many question marks early, and then you even lose Luis Ortiz.
Right. I mean, both. I mean, this is unheard of. I know their offense, I think the last week of the season or last couple of weeks, they didn't have the worst offense in the majors, but pretty much for most of the season they did. So I guess I'm going to have to go that route, but the reason that they're here is because of that starting pitching, which when the season started, you know, you're looking at Tanner Bibee as the ace and a bunch of question marks. And at the end of the season, those guys certainly rose to the occasion. So, I mean, I would say that the offense is still more surprising because, you know, you've got to score to win. And they're a postseason team, and they made that remarkable comeback with one of the worst one of the worst offenses in the majors. So that's probably the most surprising element, but starting pitching certainly is a surprise too.
Chris Ossenheimer joining us on the Fan Hotline. Chronicle Telegram is where you can always read him. Logan Allen left off of the wildcard roster, Chris. Same thing with Parker Messick. Is that more of an indictment on how trustworthy Joey Cantillo is coming out of the bullpen, or is that more of a indictment on we don't exactly trust these guys as much as we do Joey Cantillo?
I think it's a little bit of both, but Logan just pitched Sunday, so he was pretty much unavailable anyway. And Messick's never come out of the bullpen, so that was an edge for Cantillo. But I think regardless, once they decided to go with 11 pitchers, I think that regardless of whether he had bullpen experience or not, I think he probably would have been that guy.
Is there a guy that you're thinking as you're looking at the position players here for the postseason? And again, not nine of them have spent time in the minors. You mentioned Jonathan Rodriguez. Between Jonathan, Petey Halpin, and Chase DeLauder, you got three guys who are, I mean, they just arrived. They haven't even unpacked yet. Is there a guy that you think this is the guy who could be the surprise in this series, or could make a difference that we're not maybe looking at right now?
Out of those three, or
anybody?
I would say Brian Rocchio. I mean, it wouldn't really be a surprise because he's gotten hot at the end of the last two seasons, but still he's not a proven guy. He's not a guy you think of as an offensive weapon, but what he did last year in the postseason, maybe he does the same thing this year, but it's still, that's a guy who I would pick that out of the blue that, you know, and Jonathan Rodriguez, heck, he doesn't know any better. He just goes 2-for-3 in his debut and hits a huge home run. So maybe he's going to ride that wave. Certainly he's going to get that opportunity.
It seems as though as well, Chris, and Chris Ossenheimer joining us on the Fan Hotline, the month of September, Stephen Kwan has seemed to wake up a little bit and is starting to hit like the guy we saw in the first half of the season. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, I think that he battled that wrist for so long, and it really hasn't been an issue, or he hasn't talked about it, or no one's pointed it out over the last month. So I think that probably plays a big part. You know, he's not feeling that wrist as much as he was when he was struggling. So I think that's the biggest element there, but they certainly need him to be the Kwani that fans have come to love, because, you know, as we pointed out, the offense, there isn't a ton of offense, so they can't have one of their better offensive players scuffling.
Tanner Bibee in game two. He's been up and down this year, but when he's been up, he's looked really good, Chris. Your thoughts on Bibee in game two and Slade Ciccone in game three?
Yeah, Bibee certainly has been a different pitcher this last six starts. Said he made some adjustments after starting in August, I think it was. Maybe it was, yeah. And he's looked like Tanner Bibee, which he didn't do for much of the season. So, and he's got experience in this. He was their guy last year. So he's definitely had he's got postseason experience. So he's not going to be wide eyed. And Slade, who knows? I mean, certainly he was pretty consistent all season long, but we're getting to, you know, he's the innings count and things of that nature. That would be the only thing that would maybe give me cause for worry. But, yeah, I mean, listen, really, as you've seen, six-man rotation, didn't matter who they rolled out there, you know. I mean, they pitched well, and they need that to continue.
I think one of my favorite things that's come out of this, Chris, has been all of the details of the Stephen Vogt, Tarek Skubal heading to the hospital to see David Fry story. Could you imagine just, like, Stephen Vogt being like, hey, I'm going anyway. If you want to hop in the car, I'll give you a ride. You can go say hi to him if you want. Like, that's just amazing to me that this has all come up.
In most sports, it screams tampering or something right? like that.
But no, in this, it's just like, nah.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, here's a mid, you know, Stephen Vogt, officially a Midwesterner, because that's the most Midwestern thing I've ever heard. Hey, random guy I've met, you know, at work a couple times, hop in the car. We'll go to the hospital.
Yeah, it basically was a human moment for both of them, and they've talked about it was a ride. It's right over there, and they didn't talk about baseball. They talked about life in general. They got to know each other, so it was like two buddies, you know, heading over to the same spot, and voters giving them a ride, dropped them off at the hotel afterwards. But it really showed what an elite human Tariq Skubal is to do something like that. And you know, it's crazy that he's taken the mound. His last start was here, and his last start, we know what happened, and he's right back in that situation. He said it wouldn't affect him, and his manager agrees, but it's crazy. But that whole scenario was just, as you know, just two dudes being humans. And you know, and they've talked all about this all week leading up to this, is that it's a friendly rivalry. There's no bad blood. And that's kind of crazy to see too, when you got a two teams that have basically duked it out for the Central Division title for the last two seasons. And there's really, you know, mutual respect and admiration.
Now we'll see if they can pull it off. And 8-5 in the regular season. You like the Guardians' chances in this series or no?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a, you never know. I mean, three-game series, that's what I was saying. I mean, they've owned the Tigers for basically 2 years, but all it takes is two wins, and Tigers get their revenge. Yep. But I guess I would pick the Guardians not to win this game, but the last two.
Well, that could be fun. Chris, thank you, buddy. We know it's a big day for you. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, brother. Take care of yourself.
No problem. See you guys.